Now, I like the idea of rest. I don't know about you, but I look forward to taking my vacation time when I have it. The idea of being freed from responsibility for a few weeks is very inviting. And I found that some of the best vacations are always the ones that are furthest away from home. And it's not because I like just to travel so much, but because out of sight, out of mind. You know how that is. The further I'm away from my regular routine and responsibilities, the easier it is just to let it all, out of my mind, off my shoulders, and just relax. But that's only for a few weeks of the year. What about the rest of the year? We know that there's 52 weeks in a year, and most of us only get a few of them off for vacation time, which doesn't seem like a lot of time now, does it? In fact, the most common complaint about vacations is that they're too short. If you ask somebody about how their vacation was, they're probably going to say, it was great, it was just too short, it wasn't long enough. Isn't that why millions of people buy lottery tickets every day? Because they believe if they win, that the rest of their life will be just one great, big, long, wonderful vacation. The thing is, it might not always work out that way for people. Because let's face it, work isn't the only thing that keeps us busy in life. Think about this. We are given a total of 168 hours every week. And most full-time jobs require 40 hours a week. So if you minus the 40 hours of work, that still leaves you with another 128 hours per week. And if you get a full 8 hours of sleep every night, that still leaves you with 72 hours a week. Doesn't that sound like an awful lot of time? With 72 hours a week, you'd think we'd all have a lot of free time, now wouldn't you? But for some reason, it doesn't feel that way. I guess that's because there's a lot of other things besides work that fill our days. For example, there's been a few times that I've taken what's called a staycation. You ever done that? That's when you stay at home for your vacation, you don't travel. But to be honest, I found that it can be just as busy at home on a week off than I am when I'm at work in my regular routine. Sometimes that's okay because I want to catch up on things around the home, but I also want to find some downtime in my vacation too. And what I've discovered is that when I take a staycation, I still have to deliberately schedule some rest and recreation time, or get caught up in the routine tasks of life. Before I know it, the week is over, and it's like I should have just stayed at work. It's crazy when you think about it, that today we have things like electricity and indoor plumbing, machines that wash our clothes, microwave ovens, and we can buy almost anything online and have it delivered right to our doorstep. Yet many people today feel overcommitted and overwhelmed. I even hear retired people say that they are busier now after retirement than they were when they were working. You know, we can fantasize all we want about lying on the beach or playing 18 holes every day or living a life of relaxation. But the reality is that busyness is really here to stay. It seems like the only possible escape is to find a deserted island somewhere and just live there by yourself. But even then, we spend most of our time looking for coconuts to have coconut juice or something. But someone or something is always coming after us, trying to use up our time. And busyness is everywhere. It's been around for a long time, and it's not going to leave. That's just the way that life is. We often dream of the day that we'll win that lottery or retire with that big nest egg. And we run on this crazy treadmill of life just waiting for the big payoff. And so I hate to tell you this, but you probably don't have the winning lottery numbers. And retirement may not turn out to be everything that you dreamed it would be, especially if you don't learn to live a healthy rhythm of life. You see, this busyness often robs us in life. A monk named Thomas Merton once said, "The most pervasive form of violence in the modern world is busyness, not drugs, not guns, but busyness." See, busyness seems to steal from us. Sometimes we don't experience the joys of life as fully as we should because we're too wrapped up in the busyness of life. But what if I told you that you don't have to win the lottery, or wait until you retire, or wait all year for your vacation to enjoy life? What if I told you that God has already put into place a way to enjoy life and to be refreshed at least 52 times a year? You might think, Rob, that sounds too good to be true. How can that be possible, 52 times a year? Well, it is possible because we have 52 weeks in a year. And God calls us to practice the principle of Sabbath rest every week. In other words, Sabbath means to cease or to rest from. God created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested from his work. As Genesis 2 tells us, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. The practice of Sabbath has its beginnings in the very first week of creation. And here we see that Sabbath keeping is not just good advice to keep you in a nice balanced life, but it is a practice that is knitted into the created order. And it's God's design that we practice Sabbath. The Bible teaches us that the rhythm of life requires a Sabbath rest. When God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the fourth commandment was, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. The practice of a weekly Sabbath day was important enough for God to include this in his top 10 list. And it was also an important part of God's covenant with Israel. For the Jewish people, the seventh day of the week was a day of rest and worship, a day that was dedicated to the Lord, a holy day, a day set apart for God. Now, let me say a quick word here about why the church today doesn't keep the seventh day as the Sabbath. Why we hold worship services traditionally on Sunday and not on Saturday. You see, the Old Testament rules were part of the covenant that God made with Israel. But when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are under a different covenant, the new covenant with God. When Jesus died on the cross, the old covenant came to an end and God made a new covenant. And one where people from all tribes and all nations could receive salvation through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And the only rules that we follow from the Old Testament or the Old Covenant are the ones that were reiterated in the New Testament and the New Covenant. For example, in both covenants, we are told to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. These two commandments are for both Jews and Christians. But nowhere in the New Testament are we ever taught to keep the Sabbath on the seventh day. Instead, we see that in the New Testament, the church there met on the first day of the week. They met on Sundays and on Saturdays to worship together. And this might be because Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday, and that's why the New Testament also refers to Sunday as the Lord's Day. For example, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it tells us, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we read that on the first day again, it says, of each week, we should each put aside a portion of the money that you have earned. And furthermore, the Apostle Paul warns us against getting legalistic about making one day more important than the other. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5, he writes, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than another, while others think every day is alike. Now, you should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. And so for the last 2,000 years, approximately, most churches have followed the example of the church in the New Testament and have worshiped on Sunday and not Saturdays. And from what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 14, I believe we can worship God any day and every day of the week. But there's really no value in arguing over which day is better. But we should also be reminded that the principle of Sabbath rest predates either the Old Covenant or the New Covenant. God worked for 6 days creating the universe. On the seventh day, he rested from his work. God instituted the Sabbath for a reason. There's a story in Mark's gospel that can help us better understand God's purpose for the Sabbath. It's a story where the Jewish religious leaders criticized Jesus' disciples for picking and eating grain from a field on the Sabbath day. And in the story, Jesus teaches us something very important about the true meaning and the purpose of the Sabbath. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, starting in verse 23, it says, one Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? And Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went to the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest. and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions. And then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. So here, Jesus is telling us that something that really helps us better understand the Sabbath. He said, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Sabbath rest is for our benefit. God built into the rhythm of life a Sabbath for our good. Time flows in a seven-day cycle. And this is God's design that we see in the creation story, that we work for 6 days and then rest for one. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. Sabbath reminds us that God invites us to stop. He gives you permission to stop from your busyness and just simply be. But people often have a hard time just being. They struggle with the need to prove themselves or be self-reliant. And we are often unable to switch off the pressures and anxieties that are brought on by our responsibilities. And God knows that you need a sanctuary and time where you can be refreshed. But so often we feel like the world will collapse if we even take a moment just to relax. We might think that the Sabbath is just an option for when we feel like we need it, or for only for people who are weak. But to disregard the Sabbath by working 7 days a week is actually dishonoring to God. In keeping Sabbath, we express our love for God by trusting that He will provide for us even while we are resting. In a similar way, giving a portion of our income to God teaches us to trust God for our needs. When we tithe, we are giving 10% of our income as an act of worship to God. We are acknowledging that God is our master and not money. And we are trusting God to meet our needs. In a similar way, practicing Sabbath rest is a declaration of faith. We're declaring that we are depending on God and not on ourselves. That we have faith that when we stop for Sabbath rest, God will continue to work on our behalf. It's interesting that the Hebrew concept of a day actually begins with evening, not with morning, as we are accustomed to thinking. It means that each day begins with evening, sleep, and rest, before daylight hours of working and activity. After we sleep, we awaken to find that God has been working while we have been resting. He's been causing crops to grow and putting dew on flowers and designing spider webs, all without our help. The psalmist expressed this faith in God in Psalm 121, where he wrote, "Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps." We learn that God doesn't sleep, and therefore we can. And when we understand that God provides for us during our time of rest, we are freed then to live a life with less anxiety. Psalm 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "You have given me greater joy than those who have abundant harvests of grain and new wine. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." When we practice the principle of Sabbath rest, it enables us to put our faith in God and not in our own accomplishments. Also, when we practice the principle of Sabbath rest, it changes the rest-work rhythm of our life. You see, we begin to work from a place of rest rather than desperately needing rest from our work. And working from rest helps us to actually maintain a higher level of productivity. It prevents burnout. It helps us to stay motivated. And so we might want to ask ourselves, you know, what does Sabbath rest now look in this day and age? And what is and what is not permissible on the Sabbath? I realize that some people grew up in some strict homes where the Sabbath was a dreary day filled with lots of don'ts, like don't play baseball or don't play games or don't chew gum. In Jesus' day, the teachers of the law multiplied the rules and regulations around the Sabbath so it was no longer a joy but a burden, and no longer delight but a duty. And Jesus responded to this dreary view by saying that the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. According to the Hebrew Scriptures, all work was forbidden on the Sabbath. But as I said earlier, this rule was established under the Old Covenant. What that means for us today is that we don't have to follow legalistic rules, but we should seek to honor the principle of Sabbath rest. Honoring God and His design for Sabbath means that we cease from work and activities that closely resemble our work. Sabbath means that you do something on that day that's different from what you do the rest of the week. Obviously, there are times when you will have to do what is necessary on the Sabbath. Maybe you have to take a child to the doctor or shovel snow from the sidewalk in front of your home. But as much as possible on Sabbath, we should be a time where we escape the regular grind of life and embrace that which is life-giving. So what does that look like? Well, what is life-giving for you? What activities energize you? Let me give you a few examples from my own life. For me, kayaking is one of the activities that I really enjoy. I love to paddle down a river or across a beautiful lake. One summer when Karin and I were kayaking across a remote lake in northern Saskatchewan, there was a moment there when we were just floating out in the middle of the lake. And I asked her, "What do you hear?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "Isn't that awesome?" It was absolutely dead quiet. And there's nothing to hear, not even the sound of a bird. And once Karin asked me, she said, "What do you think about when you're out kayaking?" And I said, "I just think about kayaking. That's it. And that's why I like it. Because it takes me away from everything and I can just enjoy the moment. It helps me to get away from doing. It helps me just to be for a short time." And that's why whenever I'm on a staycation, I make sure I schedule some time for kayaking so I can just be refreshed by just being. There's a line that I love from the movie The Chariots of Fire where runner Eric Liddell, his sister asks him why he wastes so much of his time running all the time. And he tells her, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And I feel his pleasure when I run." He says, "When I run, I feel his pleasure." Isn't that a great line? That's life-giving. Now, we know that everything isn't about us. We're not the center of the universe. In fact, everything we do must first be for God's glory. But don't you think that in God's love for us, that he wants us to experience the joy of living? Didn't Jesus say the Sabbath is made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath? Sabbath rest is a time to escape the activities that exhaust us and to embrace the ones that give us life. So what activities take you away from the pressures and anxiety of regular life? What brings you joy? Maybe it's a hobby or a good book or a walk in the park or day fishing or even a Sunday afternoon nap. Besides kayaking, I like running. I like cycling on the trail by the river. I like taking my wife out on a date. And I like to take some of those Sunday afternoon naps. Sabbath rest is God's invitation for you to enjoy living. So choose those activities that make you feel most alive and draw you closer to God. Too often we allow the busyness of life to steal our joy. And that's why 52 times a year, God calls you to enter his sanctuary in time called the Sabbath. Because when we regularly pause from our ambitions and activities, we create a space to experience Christ. You see, it's not just physical rest that we need. We also need to experience internal rest as well. Rest for the soul. And the practice of Sabbath rest enables us to define ourselves less by what we accomplish and more by who we are in Christ, a beloved and cherished child of God. And we truly experience Sabbath when we orient our lives not around ourselves, but around Jesus and listen and respond to what his invitation is to us. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Worship is an essential part of Sabbath. That's why it's important to be consistent in your weekly church attendance. Not because it's a rule or because God will love you any less if you skip church, but because Sabbath is God's design for us to experience renewal, both physical and spiritual renewal. Remember, the church was not started by any man. It was established by Jesus himself. And it is built upon him and empowered by the Holy Spirit. This weekly service is a time to set aside all other activities of life and to focus on worshiping God. Worship is an essential part of the Sabbath. When we worship God, we're reminded that the core of our true identity is not what we do or what we have or what others think of us, but the fact that we are loved by God. Once we understand that, we can experience true rest, both physical and spiritual, both in our body and our soul. Woven into the fabric of our being is a need for rest and recovery. So God calls us to honor his design for us by living in the rhythm of Sabbath rest. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray. Father, this morning we want to pray especially for those who feel overcommitted, maybe exhausted, and maybe anxious. Father, we pray that we'd be set free from those things that wear us down, that rob us from the joy of living. Father, by practicing the principle that you've given to us in Scripture, right from the time of creation, Lord, you instituted the rhythm of Sabbath rest. Lord, help us to understand that for ourselves and how to make application of that teaching, of that principle for our own lives. Lord, to honor what you've designed and knit it together in the creative order. Lord, that we would find that place where we could stop just self-reliance and begin to trust you enough to take a moment to pause during our week, to pause and just be, and to experience Christ in those quiet moments. Father, whether it's walking through a park or wherever it is, Lord, that we'd be able to find that time of rest, Lord God, as we trust you, that you are always at work, even when we are at rest. Lord, we trust you, God, are sovereign and powerful, and that our lives are in your hands. And Lord, we want to walk in what you've called us to. And as we take those pauses, may we experience Christ in a more deeper way, be drawn into a great relationship with you. So Father, we ask that you bless your people with peace and rest. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I'll stand again this morning. We're going to close by singing All Who Are